League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We've all learned a biscuit, haven't we? Cheers, Alex.
Nice. I have a ginger cream. Well, I think.
What's a ginger cream?
That's the type of video that I watch when I'm...
Oh, good.
Banter.
Tell me that was recorded.
Welcome to episode 40 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Tom, I'm your host. This week we welcome back Alex Brown. Alex, how are you doing, mate?
Oh, I'm alright. I wish I could be here in happier circumstances.
Okay, that's nice. we do too. But welcome back, Alex. Thank you very much for coming down. As usual, Dan Kilpatrick. Dan, how are you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thanks, mate.
Good. Let's crack on. Might as well. The title, is it over? Do you think it's over?
Oh, I do think it's over, yeah. I think that's probably that as far as our title race goes. I can't see Leicester not winning any of their remaining three games. So, yeah, I'm resigned to have been done, unfortunately.
Alex, you were saying before we started recording that your dad has...
My dad
spent the evening or last night trying to convince you that, or how did he put it?
He called me last night and was like really upset, and he said like he felt sick and he went to bed and he was really upset, and then he called me in the morning and said, you know, it's not over. I mean, and I said it was over. I said it's a real shame. We should be really proud and, you know, happy with how it's gone, regardless. And he's like, well, it's not over, is it? It's mathematically not over, and I'm not going to think it's over until until it is. You know, Man United should beat them. They've got the fourth to play for. Everton, Martinez need something. They could get something there. And he said Chelsea, you know, maybe pride will be playing for a point. And while I don't necessarily agree with him, after...
When you put it that way,
I'm on board.
They are all very good teams, and I don't think that they would win all of those games. And I certainly don't think that we're necessarily... They are almost certainly going to win the league, but... I would hate, say, for United to beat them and then to go see Spurs play Chelsea and not sing my heart out as if I thought it was still on and get behind them. Because, I mean, if Harry Kane says it's not over, anything can happen, who am I to pretend I know more than, you know, the Christ returned?
The greatest man ever.
Well said.
Yeah. Is it? There's reasons, aside from it still being mathematically possible... There are reasons to be cheerful, aren't there, about this? And it's the season's not over. We have to. That's what I want to be stressing as well. Is, and that's what I really hope that Pochettino's stressing, because there was a lot of upset people after the game, wasn't there? I think you said it earlier that Alderweireld was in tears, Loris was being consoled. I saw Eriksen. Walker was flat out on the floor immediately after the final whistle. He was just on the floor.
I was telling you guys 5 minutes ago before we started recording that it was quite a strange atmosphere after the game, certainly in the media area. It felt quite sad, actually, and it did feel like everyone was deflated. And normally the players, or since I've been reporting on Spurs, since I've been doing this job, they've almost always won. I don't think I've seen a defeat yet, or I've seen one or something in the league. And normally they kind of spring through the media area and everything's very upbeat, and it was a noticeable change last night. And I think it does feel like the end of something, but at the same time I kind of feel like this season is just the beginning of something even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's that. And yeah, there is still a hell of a lot to play for this season. I mean, next week we've got to end the Stamford Bridge hoodoo. We've still got to finish above Arsenal, record finish in the Premier League, record points haul in the Premier League, and the very, very slim chance that Leicester have a massive meltdown, which obviously would be great.
There's enough reason to want to win games.
Yeah, of course.
Is it? There's no reason to phone in.
There's been a few people on social media today, as there always is, who I've seen saying, oh, now I'm worried we're going to lose our heads and finish fourth and or whatever, but I don't see that from this team.
Oh, what? And as well, oh, damn, we finished fourth. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it would be damn, we finished fourth.
But then you have to take it in context. And as well, it's not like fourth used to be the pinnacle and now it's the bottom. You know, that's the difference. That's the bottom of our expectations this season now. And probably for the last 10 games has been fourth. That is a difference. And I know that it still amounts to the same thing, but when fourth is your ceiling and you got told by the person who is in charge of your team that it's the best it's ever going to get, and now you've got this, you know, and who still is having digs all the time. Sorry, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but yeah. Redknapp saying that it's not the training sessions, it's all the players.
Oh, I saw that. It was ridiculous.
At least he's got some self-awareness of why he was so successful. But Alex, what do you like? Do you believe your dad?
I mean, much like the X-Files, I do want to believe, but I'm not. I don't think it's going to happen. But until it's over, I will be very much backing Tottenham Hotspur to win the Premier League. I see no reason why not to. I will be watching Manchester. I mean, at this point, you could say, why? What bother watching Leicester's results? It doesn't matter. Like, it's over. They're going to win eventually. But I'm still going to be watching Man United. I mean, I've cut my mum's family are Mancunians. I saw Old Trafford. I saw United win the league in '99. That was miserable. They beat Tottenham 2-1, and I was in the away end. No, I was in the home end, and someone turned around and high fived my dad and said, "I'm a Tottenham fan," and I won. That was horrible. They owe me for that. They owe me for the childhood memory of seeing me and my dad miserable in Old Trafford and them lifting the trophy.
The thing is, actually, though, even though it's more or less done, or it feels like it's more or less done, if United beat Leicester and Spurs beat Chelsea, suddenly people were going to start. Suddenly we'll be back in this room in a week's time, feeling a lot more chirpy and cheerful and optimistic. And suddenly the pressure changes, and everyone starts to talk about, well, you know, maybe Leicester are going to collapse or whatever. So you just don't know. I mean, Spurs obviously have a very tough game next weekend. So do Leicester, and it's particularly with the news we've just had about Ali. You know, it's not easy to predict either of those fixtures.
Little visitor there. You mentioned the Ali stuff. What he's been charged today, is that right? But we don't know the outcome of it.
Yeah, he's been charged, and he could have a three match ban.
So it could be it for the season.
Yeah, it could be him done.
Which would be a huge shame for him and for us. What did he do? Because I didn't see this. I've heard punch, but I can't.
Well, it was quite a pathetic punch. It was a kind of punch I would throw.
He's got away with worse this season, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's been coming, hasn't it?
But really? We said this a little while ago, and we said it would catch up with him at some point.
Yeah,
it could have been worse. I mean, I know it's not over, but. He could have got sent off against Arsenal or Chelsea.
Yeah, it could have been
Monday or something. But
it's just annoying because it looks like he'll miss Chelsea and he missed the Chelsea home game.
Yeah.
There aren't really many positives, but I mean, Son could get a nice run of games without the fear of being dropped and
go and get yourself the winner against Chelsea. Sometime.
Yeah, and Ali will at least have a breather before the European Championship. He's going to play a lot of football. Yeah. I mean, he's going to play a lot of football in the next few months, and an extra month off from playing games before he goes off to France might actually help Tottenham in the very, very long run. Who knows? But yeah, it's bad news.
Alex, do you agree? Do you agree with Dan that it's the start? This season is the start of something. Do you? Well, it's heartbreaking, isn't it, to think of how this has looked to a finish now, but it really doesn't have to be, does it? It really does not have to be.
This is the most exciting time that I've had supporting Tottenham, and what's so exciting about it is they're only going to get better. This is Eric Dier's first season as a central midfielder, and from the first maybe half a season, who he partnered with rotated. We didn't have that consistency. It was Mason. Bentaleb was there for a bit. Dembele was played as a number 10 for a while. We didn't have an established 11.
Mm.
And he's not. And he's only just played there. And he's been phenomenal. He is pivotal to the way that we play. And he's only going to get better because he's so young. Same for Dele Alli. Dele Alli's got 10 goals. But most of those have come in the past few months. I think he's got something like 3 goals and 4 assists in his last 5 games. That's if he can keep that run of form up, which you would think he'd be able to do more regularly when he's a bit older, he's got a bit more experience in the Premier League. He's only going to be better. We've got the youngest team in the Premier League. And listening to Hugo after the game saying, oh, you know, it's never felt like this. I don't know how to describe it. We're going to be better, though. We'll improve next year. Listening to Hugo talk about how the Tottenham and he'll still be there next year and how we're going to be a better side.
That is a good point.
I didn't expect that. Vertonghen, who has been unhappy and miserable being at Tottenham for years, is now saying what a special club it is at the moment, what a special time it is, and how the players have got to stay together. If Vertonghen is staying there, what about the players who actually were proud to play for Tottenham in the first place?
It's a good point.
Getting emotional.
I don't care because I am emotional.
And it's also going to be. Briefly. It's also going to be the final year, probably, at White Hart Lane. We're going to have Champions League nights there.
Correct.
We'll be able to attract better quality players because we'll be in the Champions League. And who's going to ever choose to move to Leicester? If you're a top young player and you want to play in the Champions League, are you going to choose to move to Leicester?
We could still buy some of Leicester's players, I reckon, at the end of the season.
Let's do it.
I would love
Kante.
I would love Kante as a backup to Eric Dier.
We're not selling it to me.
So. Just to follow up on that point, I was thinking about this season, and there's loads of reasons why we're not going to be champions, and arguably as big a one as any is that we had another slow start, as we often seem to. What, we didn't win in 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Lost the first and then I think drew 4 in a row. And someone on Twitter I saw today said, we've got to realise that points in August are as important as points in May. It's a really good point. But the thing that struck me was that everyone was expecting a season of transition this year. Before the start of the season, we were like, yeah, it's going to be a season of transition. We'll finish 6th. It'd be great to get a cup final. And it actually, if you compare the performances and the team and the style in August to the team performances and style now, we actually have had a season of transition, but we still challenged for the title and we're still probably going to finish 2nd, which is kind of remarkable. We have transitioned from where we were in August to where we are now, which is the best football team in the country by a long way.
Mm.
And if we start next season as we finish this one, or as I hope we're going to finish this one, as I assume we're going to finish this one, then I don't think there'll be any stopping us. I really don't.
In that case, then, what... excuse me. What do we need to learn from this season, then, for that to be the case? Because this phrase I kept using on Twitter today and yesterday was learning curve. Because there is, and this is...
learning curve.
But it is learning curve. It's a bit lame. It sounds like a GCSE textbook, doesn't it? But it is, in that you have to learn... You draw at home to West Brom when you're in a title running and you need to win... You're not going to win a title. I know Leicester did, but you know what I mean. It's different circumstances. So, what do we need to learn from this season? If you finish 2nd, then I think I've said it before that every single player in the Spurs team at the moment is a success story for personal development and growth. And I can't imagine any of them being happy with being 2nd, because none of them were happy with being 2nd best as a footballer. So why would they be happy with being 2nd best as a team together? And there is that togetherness. So what do we need to learn from this season, what's happened this season? You talk about the slow start. You know, does Levy have to take some responsibility and not have us finish the Audi Cup half an hour before we kick off against United on the first game? You know,
I know what you're saying. I'm not sure necessarily you want to be picking out sort of individual bullet points in the front of learning curve. this and this. I think it's more that when this is a really young squad, and with the exception of the Belgians, I think none of our players have ever been in the title race before.
Mm-hmm.
So just from being up there and experiencing these high pressure games, the last 20 minutes of last night's game, the last 20 minutes of the Arsenal game when we were 2-1 up. I think just from being in those situations, they will have learnt something, and they'll be better for it. And actually, the same is true with Pochettino. Everyone's banged on about how young our squad is this year, but it's easily forgotten that he's a good 20 years younger than all the other managers in the top five. He's younger than Ranieri, Pellegrini, Van Gaal,
Wenger.
He's by at least 20 years. So,
and he's made a lot of them look like mugs this season.
Yeah, so it's not as if he's the finished article as a manager. So there's no reason to think Spurs will get anything other than a lot better next year. And I'm not sure I can pick out individual things that we need to learn. It's more just, right, we've experienced a disappointment of probably not winning the league. We've come second. Now we improve on that and we take what we learned last year into next season.
Yeah, I agree.
Alex, well, after we lost the League Cup final last year, he made them watch Chelsea lift the trophy, and I'd imagine he will make them watch Leicester lift the trophy.
Yeah.
Or if not, obviously not when we win it, and say to them, you know, this doesn't happen again. And that it will motivate the players, because they'll think, okay, this is a manager who believes that we should be challenging for these things, and we absolutely should. The only thing I would say we could be improving on is I think we potentially lack a plan B in games that we expect to win and then we get pegged back. So it's games where we go ahead and then they score, we seem to get rattled. In Newcastle and West Brom, that seems to be something where we get nervous. If we go behind, never get nervous. Absolute steel. I've always felt like we're going to come back and win. But when we're already winning and they score, I'm not as confident, and I feel like we lose momentum or maybe a bit of confidence. I'm not sure whether that's because the team's young, but I feel like we then don't have an option. Like, if we've been knocking on the door and we're not scoring, I don't feel like we've got an option to change that, but perhaps a striker would be
there. I felt that was a big problem last night, or Monday night, against West Brom, actually, because I mean, as usual, when things aren't going your way, there seems to be like two things that you always hear from people and fans. One of them is get rid of it, which I heard so many times last night because we were passing it around on the edge of our own box, and just get it in there. And I always like that because they don't seem to be looking at the end of that. The start of it is just put the ball into the box, and at no point did we have Harry Kane up front on his own battling centre backs in the box. And that is a plan B. It's not a great plan B, but even the best teams in the world will hoof it into the box to try and get something. And I'm not saying that should be our plan B, but the very fact that there wasn't any variation on that, it was, I think, once Dyer went off, Mason came on, which was an enforced sub, but then some came on for Lamella, is that right?
Yes.
And then Chadley came on for, I think, Alan.
Yeah,
and that's very like for like, isn't it? You're not getting that much variation there, and they kind of just mopped up, didn't they, West Brom in the end?
Yeah, well, it's not quite the point you're making, but I think the last few games we've sort of seen that our first 11 is very set now. Pochettino hasn't really got any selection headaches for the last few games, provided, well, assuming aside from Ali for Son, I'm guessing. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of options from the bench. So going back to what we were just saying, perhaps making sure we've got more viable alternatives is something we could do better, as Alex says. Last night it was strange, because I actually finally got to the point in life where I just was utterly convinced that Spurs were going to thrash someone. And I'm not going to use the word Spursy, because I do think we shed that tag, but it was almost because I just thought, right, I'm fully confident. Now, I normally have a little twinge of pessimism that comes just from being a Spurs fan, I think, but I thought we're going to smash them now. There's going to be 3 or 4 nil.
Particularly the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, and nothing I saw in the first half made me change my mind. In fact, until West Brom scored, I still couldn't really smash them.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It's a shame.
And I think we ended up defeating ourselves as much as West Brom did, if that makes any sense.
Oh yeah, it does, but I don't actually agree with that really. I think West Brom I think it was a game of fine margins and we were unlucky. Obviously, we hit the post three times, and on a different day, it could have been another Stoke. It could have been 3 or 4 mm. nil. But I think once those chances didn't go in for us, West Brom got a foothold and they kind of did a number on us in a way that the likes of Bournemouth and Swansea and Watford and Norwich haven't been able to do. And that comes from them being a Pulis team. He knows how to get those results. He knows how to grind them out, like it or lump it. And I think in the second half, we were basically Pulis.
That's a nice... that's actually the title of the last pod that we had after West Brom.
Well, the 1-1.
The 1-1, Spurs yeah. get Pulis. And it's exactly the same, isn't it? It's identical. We went one up and then we just didn't hold out.
Actually, looked, we played exactly the same team and made almost exactly the same subs in that game as well.
Wow.
It was the same 11.
Well, then that sort of says it all.
We brought on a Jack and G instead of Chadley, but that was it. Otherwise, it was the same.
Wow. Alex, like... In terms of the actual game itself, is there anything that sort of stood out for you? So in a broader context of, you know, was there anything a part of that game or that result that made you think, well, that's why we're not winning the title? Or was it just one of those things that...
I think when you're playing a team like that who are coming to play for a draw, who are trying to frustrate you, however good you are, every big team, which Tottenham are now, drops points against a Pulis side at some point or other. I don't think last night cost us the league. It was pre-October that's cost us the league. I think if we'd have played the way we have against them last night, we would have beaten them maybe 2 out of 3 times. So I don't think I'm going to look at that game too much and be like, oh, we should have done this, we could have done that. Because I think that was looking for blame or looking for a problem where there isn't any. We came up against a very organised side and we were unfortunate and they raised their levels.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was a mistake. It was a goalkeeping mistake.
Yeah.
You can't count that.
What's happened to Dyer, just quickly? Because it looked quite nasty. Was there any...
I don't know anything about that, actually. He looked... fucked. He looked like he dazed and out of it when he went off. And I wondered if it was a concussion, but I haven't seen anything.
Like, at best, a severe winding...
Someone said shoulder, but I don't know. But given that Ali's probably going to miss 3 games, it would be really handy if Dyer hadn't dislocated his shoulder or something.
It would be good
if he's out for a bit.
That leads quite nicely to the next point, because when Dyer was receiving treatment, there was a lot of... obviously, they literally just scored, and there was a lot of looking around and... Nobody really knew what to do or say, and I think that Loris was maybe a bit sheepish and was kind of doing his hands out thing and asking questions of the defence and stuff. And actually, the only player that I saw to really try and G people up was Vertonghen. And it may have been other people as well, but Vertonghen was in the middle, and when people started to sing Eric Dyer's name, he looked at the stands and he tried to whip it up. And it was a kind of, let's get some noise. And immediately there was a real atmosphere, and I wanted to talk about that, because games against West Brom, I know it's all about context, but games against West Brom, you don't tend to get a great atmosphere. And one thing that I thought was remarkable was that at half time we went in 1-0 up, but because West Brom had spent the last 5-10 minutes cheating, there was booing, and it wasn't aimed at the team, it was aimed at West Brom. At the end of the game, when it was 1-1, within 5 seconds of that final whistle going, there was "We love you, Tottenham." And the whole of Park Lane was stood up and singing, and in reaction to a devastated team, because Walker was flat on his back, Eriksen was he looked like he'd been punched in the face, I think, and there was plenty of other players that were very similar. You said that Toby was in tears, Loris was getting consoled by the goalkeeping coach. Oh no, him.
Well, I said that because as they went down the tunnel, Toby sort of had his face in his hands and certainly looked like he was in tears. And yeah, Loris had big Tony Jimenez and his arm around Loris and was sort of comforting him, talking to him. And it did look like a broken team.
But it was the support from the stands was... It was almost anger and defiance, again, that... It wasn't anger. It was almost angry for the team. Not at the team. There wasn't even a sense of you've blown it. There wasn't a sense of you know, any other day you draw 1-1 at West Brom, and even especially in when there's something to play for, you draw 1-1 against West Brom, generally White Hart Lane is a bit poisonous.
Yeah, that's a good point actually, because if you imagine, let's imagine we were chasing down fourth spot and that was a must-win game, we're drawing 1-1, I don't think there would have been the same level of support at the final whistle. So
Pochettino has made us into a club that's claps off our players when you draw at home to West Brom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
On the crowd thing, I think another thing that Pochettino has done, and I maybe won't matter so much anymore, but the fans sing more about Leicester than they do about any other club. The Spurs fans. We don't sing about Arsenal anymore. We don't sing, are you watching Arsenal? But
we sing about ourselves more than anyone else. I know what you mean.
I still think we sing about Arsenal quite a lot. There's that Arsenal fan
once.
On the string, it comes out a lot.
But then over the course of the season, being a Yid has started to take over that song. And that comes with that edging them out of the frame, doesn't it? I thought every single player had a song last night, apart from Hugo. Everyone.
And Walker.
Yeah, he doesn't have a song.
I noticed Park Lane was doing the rounds and everyone. And
I just noticed
that Walker doesn't really have one.
He's the only one he's got that I've ever heard is...
And Lamella doesn't have one, does he?
Yeah, always take Lamella with you.
Oh yeah,
The only one I've ever heard from Walker is
one car Walker, but then now there's two. So
no,
it's fine.
The 500 miles song.
I've never heard that.
You have the Proclaimers.
Yeah, no, I know, but the Carl Walker version.
Carl Walker. Quite like it. That's been around for years, but. Never really caught on.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's very strange, actually. But
just what I mean is, the culture of the club has changed such under Pochettino that the fans. I'm not worried. I'm not looking over my shoulder anymore, thinking, "Are Arsenal going to catch us? Of course they're going to catch us. Oh, they've caught us." I don't think about that anymore. Mm. I'm only looking up. I'm not thinking, "Oh, Arsenal finished above us next season. This is going to be one off." And the fans aren't singing, "Are you watching Arsenal?" to taunt them. They're thinking. They've got their eyes on Leicester and are singing about catching them. It's not about Arsenal.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's all like
it's about Tottenham being better and Tottenham being the best club in the country, not just about finishing Arsenal. And when Arsenal were winning against Bournemouth, I think, they were singing, "We're coming for you, we're coming for you. Tottenham Hotspur, we're coming for you." We were in second, Leicester were in first. But they were thinking about us, not Leicester.
That's a really good point, actually. I didn't make that connection. Yeah, you're right. Dicks. Fucking dickheads. And I love the meltdown as well. Just the draw against Sunderland was
like that's that tweet when I said Toby's in tears, which I was just doing because, you know, I could see it and it was still my job to report that. I wasn't relishing that. Retweeted, like quote retweeted by so many Arsenal fans today.
Yeah.
Just like, what a shame. Ha ha ha.
At least our players are fucking crying at this as well. Your players are picking up fucking loads of money and walking off. Did you see Ozil against Sunderland, by the way? There's a reason that dickhead has got a reputation as a lazy like, our players are in tears at not winning a title. Their players aren't asked about drawing against Sunderland to knock them out of possibly even top three, top four. This, you know, hashtag the difference.
Yeah, I don't want to make it an Arsenal pod, so I'm just going to agree with you. And
yeah, move on.
Someone talk, because I've just taken a bit of biscuit. What else can we talk about from last night?
Moussa Dembélé was absolutely superb, and what's happened to him is probably the most surprising change in a player I've ever seen. He's gone from being a player I'd happily see at the club to being the best midfielder I've ever seen.
He was incredible.
That moment when we did dip him out with the ball quite a lot at the back last night, which was a source of frustration that I don't think anything bad came of it. I think every time we managed to play our way out, but there was one point where Dembélé was penned in by about three West Brom players, and I just thought shit, and then just with one touch and a drop of the shoulder, he turned away from all of them and then charged about 30 yards, and it was absolutely glorious.
He turned around the pitch, yeah,
he
completely
just,
I remember, yeah,
and actually Some others have said Lamella was very good after they scored, but for me, the player who just took responsibility and kept a cool head while most of the Spurs players were panicking was Dembele. He was absolutely brilliant though. He got a foot on the ball. He just kept playing his normal game basically, and the rest of the players weren't, unfortunately. There was a lot of long balls towards Kane. There was a bit of panic. There were some really loose touches, but Dembele was just doing his thing and taking charge. He's absolutely brilliant. Mm. I think he's the best midfielder in the Premier League.
Really? Sir?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it is hard to quantify. He doesn't score many goals, but if Kante is getting all this praise as one of the most important cogs in Leicester's title challenge, then Dembele deserves just as much, and I think he's a better player than Kante.
Yeah. Also, our stats with Dembele and our stats without are staggering.
Never lost a league game and he's played the start in centre midfield.
Who's that? Sorry?
We haven't lost a league game, he's starting centre midfield this season. So he wasn't. Didn't start West Ham, he didn't start Newcastle. Man U, he started on the right wing. And Leicester, he didn't start in centre midfield. So basically, you play Dembele in the middle, you don't lose in the league.
And think about the difficult positions he gets himself in, you know, let back with all these players around him. His pass accuracy is, I think, 80... Well, I looked this up last time. I think it's about 87.9% for the season. That's unbelievable. Yeah. It might be because it's wrong, but...
I think it's right.
But I think it's, I think it's about 87% for a player who's all over the pitch, has touches everywhere, though doesn't go into the opposition's box enough.
I do think with Dembele, without wishing to dwell too much on it, I think that... You know, you can pad out those sort of stats because you play a safe pass, which I do think Dembele is, I'm not going to say guilty of, because I don't think it's a bad thing, and I don't think he is there to provide those through balls and stuff. He's there as almost a foil for every other attacking player that we've got. He's the security, he's that first line of defence because he's so strong, and, you know, behind him there's Dyer, and behind Dyer there's Toby and Vertonghen. But...
Yeah, I don't think it's his job to play that killer pass or find an assist or even assist the assister. I think it's his job to... What he does so well is he will attract opposition players to him. So he'll pick up the ball, he takes quite a few touches, he'll generally get surrounded by a couple of players, and then he will take them out of the game by turning or just dropping a shoulder or just changing his pace. Then he'll give it to someone like Eriksen or Ali. As you said, it can be a relatively safe pass. But the amount of space they'll have just because Dembele's been on the ball, not because he's done anything remarkable, just because he's been on the ball and managed to create space for himself, it increases, and he gives opportunities to guys like Eriksen and Ali and Lamella to create something or create a goal.
Pochettino's whole philosophy is pulling people out of place, isn't it? And that's why Kane is such a good front man, because he will pop up all over the place. And Dembele taking two players out of the game in the middle of the park is the base of quite a lot of our attacking play, isn't it? So, okay. Well, let's move on. I feel a little bit better, actually. I don't feel there's nothing to feel that bad about, really. Is there?
Tottenham are second in the league, the best club in London, and they've got the youngest.
The best team in the league.
We are technically the best team in the league, yeah.
Yeah, forgetting.
We don't have the most points, but we are the best team in the league.
Yeah, there's every single stat we're first in.
So tell you my Lysandro story?
Yes, do. Yeah, because he came on for 10 minutes?
A couple of minutes, I think. But he was...
wished he'd just belted it into his hand.
He was hanging around the media bit last night, just giving everyone hugs. For about 40 minutes. Like, seriously. About 40. I'm pretty sure I was trying to be professional, but I thought, I could just say, like, Bees, can I have a hug? I'm 99% sure he would have been like, yeah, fine.
And you'd have lost all credibility amongst your peers.
All credibility. But, yeah, he's a legend. He's literally just standing in the mix zone, which is the bit where you sort of stand and you wait for the players. Just standing there on the other side of the rope and the sort of players bit with this entourage of Brazilians who were all complaining about being cold, so he went and picked up a heater and brought it over, and then just sort of walking around hugging the Spurs players. Absolute legend.
He would have been waiting for his ex-colleagues as well, I suppose, at Spurs TV.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd you get deep in there?
This is just cynical shit.
I am, but...
it's horrible.
It's not that horrible. I'll
I'll bleep that as well. Right, so let's move on because we have got it's not over, and by it I don't just mean the title. We've got a job to do, haven't we? These last three games, and we've got a job to do in that we can't let the result and the West Brom result get to us too much because we've got Chelsea on Monday, which I think is just as important as it was previously, and I think that's regardless of what Leicester do at Man United, because we win that game, we've sewn it up. Second, I think, haven't we? Have we sewn up second?
I don't think we sewn up second, but
we've got to play
each other. We need 2 points. We need 2 points for the top three to cement top three. Because
then we have
sewn up. Okay,
then
we have. No, so not top two, but top three is secured.
It might be three, because I think that... it's maths, let's not bother, because it's going to take us forever. But I think if we win, that's it. We've got... That's done. We're finished. That's the season done. Whatever happens after that, you win your final two games... We've done all that we can, but we can end it at Chelsea. There's two things we can end, the whole Stamford Bridge thing. But do you think it's a marker of us as a team going there and getting a result?
I do and I don't. I don't in that I don't... I wouldn't have thought... I won't think any less of this team if we don't go there and get a result, if we do lose. Because we've all seen the comments of the Chelsea players and the media, which we'll come on to, I guess. But they're obviously going to be up for it, and I wouldn't want us to lose and everyone to start suggesting the wheels have come off or whatever. But yeah, it's... I don't think Pochettino's players pay much attention to ancient history and what's gone in the past. I don't think that's the way they operate or the way they think. But I still think... As a club, it would be so significant just to end that run, just to brush it under the carpet, like we did with the run at Old Trafford. No one talks about it, and you can just sort of get on with being a top Premier League team. And top Premier League teams don't have those records. You know, it was never like Ferguson's Man United. Oh, they haven't won at Swansea for 97 years. that didn't happen. They never had those kind of things hanging over them, and it would be significant, I think, just to win there and end that hoodoo.
Alex?
I mean, it would obviously be significant. I don't think that our whole season is going to rely on it. I would be very disappointed if we lost to them, just because they're the club who I despise the most in the Premier League and who I think have done the most to damage Tottenham in our illustrious recent history. But I'm not thinking, if we don't, I won't think any less of any of the players or think this isn't a team that's still going places next season.
If we put in the same application as we did against West Brom, or even actually at Liverpool, at Anfield, then I don't think like we can do any more. My worry is... Actually, no, I'm not worried, because this is a different team. I was going to say my worry is that they are going to be a bit disheartened, but I have a lot of faith in Pochettino.
This team responded to setbacks better than anything.
Yeah. And there's a week to prepare for this. They know how much it means. And they're, you know, I said it, I think, before recording. Walker was flat out on his back at the final whistle last night. He was hurt. He was, he's been there as long as anyone else, I think.
Apparently, as an aside, apparently he is a top bloke.
Carl Walker.
So, another journalist, I hate doing this, told me that he basically knows Kyle Walker, and I was like, I basically said something flippant, like, he's a bit of a thickie, isn't he? And he's like, yeah, but apparently he's like the dressing room glue of Tottenham, and he'd do anything for anyone, all the players love him. He's just an absolute legend. So I heard that, and I was just like, oh, sweet.
Yeah. I think I said in the week that I thought that Kyle Walker was massively upgradable, and I'm wrong. What do you mean?
You said I said earlier in the week.
Earlier this week I said Cole.
Oh, okay.
I thought
you meant earlier in the season.
No, I thought Walker was massively upgradable. I'm wrong. I am wrong, and I think I did a massive disservice to both him and Pochettino in the same way I did sort of Lamella, in that I just underestimated how much that they would actually come on, given proper training, proper a length of time, injury free. That's just an aside. But I was, the point I was going to say about Kyle Walker was that he was hurting last night, and he doesn't need to know. He doesn't need to tell anyone how much it would mean to go to Chelsea and win, does it? Like, there's, every single player should know what it's all about and what a way to react. Do you think, is it maybe the perfect game for us to be going into? Fighting the tide a little bit, disappointing result, we've reacted well to adversity.
Well, previously when we had disappointing results, we came back and we were still fighting for something, whereas there is the possibility that come Sunday evening we won't actually be fighting for anything anymore, aside from, you know, second place, which is still a huge achievement. So I don't know, it's going to be hard to think, okay, you've got this goal in mind. If you win this game, we then go to the next game, and you've got this in mind. Once it's over, are you going to be as motivated? Like, sure, I'd like to beat Chelsea, but that's just beating Chelsea. And they've already played us at the White Hart Lane, and Pochettino referred to them as a small team, which is a victory in itself.
What do you think of Hazard's comments after, I think they played Bournemouth or something, didn't they?
I think for someone who scored two goals to say that I don't want Tottenham to win the league when he's already talking about leaving for PSG, I don't care. He's been abject all season. He's a disgrace. And he will look at our Belgians and think, every one of those has scored probably more goals than I have, including the defender, other than Jan Vertonghen.
Be a massive shame if he had a little cruise ship before the Euros, wouldn't it? Just an accidental slide from Musa.
I just think it's...
Sidestep that one nicely, yeah. Dan.
I don't wish injury on anyone.
What did you think of the comments?
It's just idiotic, stupid thing to say. I mean, I get what's happened. Someone's asked him a leading question or something, and he's responded in that way, but you've got to be cleverer. Because there will be, and Begovic has said something fairly similar now, I think, as well, on the long lines of, we want to stop, you know, we want to end it for Spurs, and we would like to see Leicester win it because it's a dream, blah, blah, blah. But it's just not clever, because if Hazard has a stinker against Spurs, or, you know, has a stinker against Leicester, if he scores against Spurs, if he misses a penalty against Leicester, it's just a huge amount of scrutiny is now going to be on him, and it was just a stupid thing to say. I agree with Alex, I don't honestly care. I think Bankrupt put it very well on Twitter that it's basically him desperately trying to curry favour with a fan base that he's massively let down this year by being fucking shit.
That's a really good point.
Fantastic. He hasn't really got much else. He's gone from player of the year to arguably one of the most disappointing players in the whole of a really, really disappointing Chelsea squad. And what else has he got apart from trying to mug off Spurs?
And that's a good point as well, that if he knows he's off anyway, if he phones it in for the last game of the season, he's under scrutiny for, 2 weeks? Goes away to the Euros, doesn't come back, goes to France straight after. There's, what are you going to do about it? You know, it's... Yeah. I thought for a team that has got both of those teams left to play, because somebody made the point, what about Crouch saying it before they played Spurs? And I think, well, Crouch had about a 5% chance of playing any part in that game. Hazard has got a good chance, probably a 90% chance of playing against at least one of those teams, probably both of those teams. And they've got both teams left to play. And I just thought, I thought it was a little bit, it was a step on from unprofessional. I thought it was actually a little bit, I mean, cynical is the right word, but I think there's got to be something done properly, like by authority, surely. You can't play in either game.
We'll just beat them.
No, I don't agree with that.
Play in either game? If you've actively come out, every player's thinking that. Every Chelsea, John Terry is not going to come out and say that. But in his head, he's thinking, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to stop Tottenham winning the game. Might just turn up 60% against Leicester in my last... He's thinking it, but he's not going to say it. If you come out and you've actively said that, and you've got both teams left to play, don't let him play in either game.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but I mean, it would just set quite a severe precedent.
But then nobody else does. But nobody
think,
does.
Yeah,
that's what
I
mean.
I don't know.
Players,
I think what you've got to be careful of is making players even more afraid to say anything remotely interesting. And that, I don't think that would be good for football if you start saying, right, you've said this to the media, we're going to ban you for 2 games, because there's not a lot in players expressing their view anyway. Look, if he's got a stupid, one-eyed, unprofessional opinion, as Alex says, let him have it and let's beat them and shove it down his throat.
But
that's the best response.
But that's all we can do. And if they, but then
that's
we
the
are,
best response.
We haven't got any. We have nothing over how they play against Leicester. We can affect what we do in the game. And if they only had us left and not Leicester,
yeah,
fine, I'm happy with that. But there's that thing with gambling for sportsmen. You can't bet on your team to lose. You can bet, there's very strict rules. You can bet on yourself to score.
I don't want to be seen to be defending these comments because they are idiotic. But I don't necessarily think it means they're not going to try against Leicester. It just means that they would rather Leicester won the Premier League than Tottenham. But that doesn't mean they're not going to try in that game, you know. It just... all the Spurs players would rather Leicester won the Premier League than Arsenal.
Yeah,
of course they would. And if it was between Leicester and Arsenal and Spurs had 2 games left, we might be singing from a different hymn sheet.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, but I just think let's go and smash them at Stamford Bridge in front of their own fans, compound their miserable, miserable season and
lives.
And lives, and enhance our glorious, glorious season.
Fair, okay. You've brought me down, Dan. You've brought
charmed
me down from the precipice. You've charmed me. We did have some listener questions, which I am very unprofessionally going to look up now. So just talk about yourselves. Maybe you want to pause the pod. Maybe you want
to. Should we make a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Well,
what,
you're just
going
to
make a pod. What players do you have from Chelsea?
What
I was going to ask, but
what
we,
players are from Chelsea?
Yeah,
what
like from Chelsea 11, who of them would you actually want on your team?
That's a very good question.
We didn't
answer that then.
Probably none, actually.
Costa is a wonderful player, but he's not going to get in ahead of Harry.
Yeah.
Branislav has been abject all season. No, none of that back line are worth having.
No.
Matic has been... He's not Eric Dier. He's not been as good as Eric Dier has been.
We can't get in the team ahead of Mikel anymore, can we?
Yeah. Imagine,
says a lot.
Imagine saying that like, maybe... Pedro, but even then, like how they played in the Premier League, you wouldn't
don't remember him doing anything.
You wouldn't be like, you'd be like Pedro from Barcelona. Yeah, of course, like, he'd be amazing. I'd love him. And then,
yeah, I don't think any of their players would get into our team.
Fabregas, maybe.
Two questions that we've had in quick succession. Will at Colwell 94. What's the point in anything?
I'm not happy with Will at the moment.
That was. It summed it up, but I do think we've got better through the day, haven't we? And then at Yidnik, who is, if you don't follow him, he does some really good Spurs designs. What's the best ways to stop the tears from flowing? It was quite a sad question forum this week, if you like. I'm trying to find one that is...
Answerable.
And I don't really think we've... I mean, a lot of people... Actually, I'll give you sort of a general overview. Jim at Stylish Riot has asked, what do you say to the Spurs fans who are saying that we are bottlers and our season is a failure? We've also had someone else ask, Charlie Brown at Zav1918, does everyone moaning about last night need to find a new club to support? I think they're born of quite a lot of anger about some reactions last night. I haven't seen that much... really, but I would like to ask you the question about our team in general being called bottlers. How do you react to that?
You can't bottle it if you've never been in first place and no one ever expects you to win. We've been second the whole time. We've been incredibly valiant chasers who've shown great determination and the best football in the Premier League. Leicester have been relentless and scraping 1-0 wins, and fair play to them. We were top for 13 minutes.
Correct.
If you look at how much all the other clubs have spent and what their expectations were going into the season, Manchester City have absolutely bottled it. Arsenal, this was on a silver platter for them, and they were unable to take it. They are the biggest bottlers. United bought Schweinsteiger and all this other money and expected again to challenge. They'll be lucky to scrape in top four. They bottled it. We expected to have a transition season, and we've become this new wonderful team. We finished second, and we've put something quite magic in a bottle. With Pochettino, and I'm very excited for what's next. We've not bottled it. We've shown what we can be and what we will be.
If Spurs have, it's just obviously nonsense, because if Spurs have bottled it, what, as Alex says, what's everyone else done? We're the only team that hasn't bottled taking on Leicester.
You're the wanker, mate. If anyone is.
Yeah, I mean, Leicester have had this ridiculous, unprecedented season that will never, ever, ever happen again. Ever. In our lifetimes. We'll all be long dead before something like this happens again, I think. I'll go so far as to say it's probably the great achievement in the history of sport, I think.
Yeah.
To win a cup, it can be done, because it's 5, 6, maybe 7 games, and you can get a bit of luck and something ridiculous can happen. There are stories. To do what they've done over 38 games is just absurd. Over 35 games, yeah. We don't know, they could collapse. But, you know, that's been unprecedented, and the only team that have risen to that challenge has been Tottenham. Everyone else has just shrunk, fallen away, bottled it. We haven't, so it's nonsense. I mean, it's a shame that it's probably not going to happen for us. The title isn't going to happen for us this year, but as Alex says, I think we'll be up there again next year and for the foreseeable future.
Do you think it's a sign of how good we are and perhaps how well we've sort of established ourselves again this season, that we're being called bottlers for, like you say, we've never led the league this season?
I think we've been behind Leicester before they even kicked a ball this season.
Right,
we lost to Man U in the early kickoff on the opening day.
Yeah,
they won Southampton. We haven't been near them since.
Okay, that's a great stat.
So
yeah.
It's not as if we. And I think in the third game of the season, when we drew 1-1 at the King Power, they moved 5 points ahead of us, and we pretty much haven't ever closed that gap.
Yeah.
So it's not as if we've been top and fallen away. It's not as if we've ever been that close to them. We've always sort of been 5 points away.
But I was going to ask, do you think that it's a sign of perhaps how big or how seriously we're being taken, that we're being called bottlers, having, like we say, having been close, and yet if Leicester fell away now, and they finished second, there wouldn't be any talk of them bottling it, despite the fact that they've led it from pretty much the start. I think it's only United, City and Arsenal that have had brief moments at the top one or two games, because Leicester's probably kicked off the day after or something. They're not going to be called bottlers, are they? And this is the whole fairy tale thing that is just, well, it's crap, basically. It is. So I don't think there's any other way to describe it. Do you think it's a sign of us and how far we've come that we're being classed as bottlers?
I don't think it's anything to do with us, if I'm completely honest. I think it's more to do with other teams' insecurities, and they want to get some retweets, and they, you know, say Spurs are bottling again, how Spursy, crying emoticon, or emoji, whichever it is, how embarrassing for a young person. And then, you know, and just say it to all their friends. I really don't think anyone whose football opinions are remotely valid will consider what's happened to Tottenham as being bottlers, and I don't think it's to do with our status. We've been fantastic, but I don't think you'd say they've been fantastic, they should have won the league and they messed it up. I mean, if we were bottlers, it wasn't this week, it was the week we played Arsenal and West Ham. That was the week to step up, and we didn't. So I wouldn't look at last night and go, well, what bunch of bottlers. I'd think, well, they didn't do well enough in the two derbies that were a pivotal week for them.
I think that's. I know you said earlier on that we can't bullet point where things did go wrong, but we've, you know, aside from us only taking a point off of the team that are above us in the league, would you go along with that the derby week was probably what we can point to and say that, particularly after going a goal up against Arsenal?
I mean, 2-1 up against your biggest rivals who have got 10 men at home, shouldn't be drawing their game. But I do think there are so many factors, and you've mentioned pre-season and whether we were prepared enough. I've mentioned the first month of the season. So there's things to take into account. I don't want to put it on one or two games.
We've I've got a question actually.
Okay, we'll finish
to finish on.
Sorry, someone did ask, "What does 55 years feel like?" Was that an
Arsenal
fan?
I think it means
fan?
Since, yeah, an Arsenal fan.
That's very funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I saw that one. It's hilarious.
That's very good. It's not like
Ben. Ben Lewis asked if Hugo Lloris has performed below his usual high standards this season.
Ooh. Which I think it's really weird because all season I've been sitting here saying. Oh, another exceptional performance from Lloris. He's brilliant. He could easily be our player of the season.
And I don't know whether this just comes of him being the goalkeeper. And I haven't given it much thought, to be honest. But when you look back at the pivotal games we have lost or drawn, West Ham, could he have done better on the Antonio header? The draw with Arsenal when he kind of fell back and Gibbs equalised. The Newcastle game we lost. Last night's game, I do wonder if there have been one or two too many, but
I don't think too many. I think he's got enough credit.
Yeah,
he's got enough in the bank to be able to be forgiven for. I mean, he's got to take responsibility for it. He's not. The thing is, in previous seasons, he was so good because our defence was appalling, and he was so good that it didn't matter if he made mistakes. It was, you know, eventually one of them's going to go in. He saves 10. World class, makes 10 world class saves and 10 shots, the 11th goes in. That's how it was for him. But I guess we're giving away less this season, and it's meant more when he has conceded. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah,
I think his distribution's crap as well. I think his kicking is basically what makes him the second best goalkeeper in the league
behind
De Gea's. I think he's exceptional.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. When he's conceded, it's meant more. It's been more significant than years gone by where he's made a mistake and it's the third goal and a 5-1 dropping or whatever. I can't really criticise Hugo because, well, he's world class, and I still think on paper he's one of the best players on our team.
Yeah. Alex, last word, Hugo?
I completely agree with you. His distribution is incredibly sloppy. And he has certainly made a few mistakes.
Not sloppy, I just don't think he's that good at it.
No,
like,
I don't.
If that makes sense.
I feel like I've seen him kick out a couple of times. You know, when the people cheer.
Yeah, but I was taking issue with the word sloppy. I don't think it's kind of a lax. I just think he's a bit of a crap kicker, if you get what I mean.
Right, okay. I think his distribution is quite uneven.
Yeah.
It's not a very accurate distribution. But you know, that's that late save against Manchester City. I know there are times when he's cost us, but perhaps none more key than that one. There have been so many where Hugo has won us a match with a late save and kept his head. And I don't think we can have any right to question Hugo Lloris for what he's done for the club, and like he put up with Zeki Friars in front of him.
Yes,
and
fair.
Who's the one who went to Napoli, who was utter garbage. Good, I mean, the man has been through things.
No man should have to.
And we only notice it now because we're a team that doesn't expect to concede, and so when we do, it's our own fault because we're a side good enough that when we do, we remember it and we look and find a cause.
His game has changed as well. It's not just being the sweeper keeper, which he does really well, but he is the first. He's supposed to start attacks. And in the same way as who's the guy at Barcelona with he plays in with Ter Stegen.
Yeah.
You know, they don't buy goalkeepers that are poor with their feet because you start attacks, and that's what he does. He passes it to Alderweireld or Janes or Walker or Rose, and it starts attacks. So, you know, I think his game is much more about shot stopping. It's just lucky that he's such a good shot stopper, I suppose. Maybe below standard, but he's even below standard, he's still one of the best, I suppose. That's the end of episode 40. It's exhausting, isn't it? We've still got three more of these, mate. Well, hopefully we can get something, it'd be nice to finish really positively, but I don't feel quite as bad as I did at the start of this. Alex, how about you?
I mean, I still feel bad, but just talking about it and thinking about it, with Guardiola coming in and possibly Mourinho, I'm not worried about them at all. I'm not worried about what other clubs might do because I'm excited to see what Tottenham do. And that hasn't changed. And defiant was the right word he said earlier.
Good man. Thank you very much for coming down, Alex. Nice to see you. Dan, as usual, very nice to see you as well.
Cheers, mate.
We'll be back next Tuesday for the third and final Tuesday in a row after a Chelsea review. This has been the Tottenham Way. Thanks very much for joining us. Come on, you Spurs.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.